Hey everyone, and welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily. It's Friday, so you know what that means, right?
It's Vendor Vulnerability Friday.
You got it. And today we've got three stories, three vulnerabilities, really.
Three big ones.
Yeah, that are going to make you think twice about who you trust in the cybersecurity world. Mm-hmm. Even the biggest names, you know.
It happens to everyone, and I think it's important for us to talk about it. It's how we learn, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Got to learn from those mistakes. So let's jump right in. This first one is like a real David and Goliath story.
Okay. I like where this is going.
Yeah. It's this security researcher, Daniel, found a flaw in Cloudflare's content delivery network. You know, a CDN.
CDN. Yeah. Everyone uses them.
Basically, a network of servers that helps websites load faster.
Right. For all of us out there who just, you know, can't wait an extra millisecond.
Exactly. But here's the thing. This vulnerability, it's not about slow loading times. It's way worse than that.
Yeah, much worse. See, Cloudflare uses these data centers all over the world. And when you visit a website that uses Cloudflare, the CDN tries to connect you to the closest data center for the, you know, fastest speeds.
Okay, that makes sense. Speed is king.
Right. But Daniel, he figured out a way to use this to actually pinpoint someone's location.
Wait, hold on. How is that even possible? Just by knowing which data center I'm connecting to?
So let's say you send someone a picture, right? Cloudflare's CDN is working in the background, routing that image through its network. Daniel, he discovered that by carefully measuring the response times from different data centers, he could kind of triangulate the general location of the person receiving that image.
Well, okay, so you're telling me just by receiving an image, my location could be leaked.
Yeah.
Even if I'm using like Signal or something?
Even Signal, even Discord, all these secure messaging apps were affected. And the worst part, you wouldn't even know it was happening.
So it's like a completely silent attack.
Zero click, they call it. Automatic image downloads in your notifications. Boom, location leaked.
Okay, so how accurate are we talking here? Like, could someone actually pinpoint my exact house with this?
Not that precise, thankfully. It's more like a 50 to 300 mile radius.
Okay, well, that's something at least.
It all depends on how dense the Cloudflare data centers are in a particular area. Denser the data centers, the more accurate the tracking.
Still, a 50 mile radius, I mean, that's enough to raise some serious red flags for anyone concerned about privacy.
Yeah.
Especially journalists, activists, anyone who really needs to keep their location on the down low.
Exactly. Now, the good news is that Cloudflare patched the initial bug that Daniel found.
Oh, good. So, problem solved.
Well, not quite. Daniel, being the resourceful researcher he is, found a workaround using a VPN. You know, those things that kind of mask your internet traffic.
Oh, no. So even with the patch?
Still a way to exploit it. It just highlights how difficult it is to stay ahead of these location tracking challenges.
So it's a constant cat and mouse game, huh?
It really is.
I'm curious, what was the response from, like, Signal and Discord? Did they scramble to address this?
It was kind of a mixed bag, to be honest. Cloudflare, they basically, it's the user's responsibility to manage their caching settings. You know, caching is how data is temporarily stored for faster access.
Right.
But Signal and Discord, they kind of downplayed it. They said it's not really our core issue. So, yeah, it just shows you how much debate there is about, you know, who's responsible for what in this digital world.
It's like nobody wants to take the blame. But you know what? Let's move on to our next vulnerability, because this one, I can't help but laugh at the irony. This time, we're talking about a security company whose product has some serious security flaws.
Oh, this is good. Which company?
Palo Alto Networks.
No way.
I know, right? The irony is thick here. They're firewalls.
Yeah.
Not as secure as you'd think.
You'd think a company known for its firewalls would have that part down pat. Shows that no one's invincible, huh?
Not at all. And listen to this. We're not talking about just one little oopsie. It's a whole Pandora's box of vulnerabilities. Boot hole, logo fail, pixie fail. They even have fun names.
Names like that, you think they'd be less dangerous, but trust me, they're not. A lot of these flaws, they target the firewall's firmware. That's the permanent software, you know, baked into the hardware.
Firmware. For someone who's not a tech whiz, explain why messing with that is such a big deal.
Imagine someone messing with the foundation of your house. It's not just a leaky faucet, it's a structural problem. That's what a firmware attack can be like. Attackers can change the device's core instructions and basically potentially take control of the whole firewall.
So they could, what, just shut down the whole system?
Potentially, yeah. And get this, the PA-3260, PA-1410, and PA-415 were all vulnerable, and even some models that aren't sold anymore.
Wait, so even if a product is like end of life, it could still be a risk?
Exactly. End of life doesn't mean end of risk, unfortunately.
Man, good to know. So what exactly were these flaws? Like, how did they work?
Well, one big one involved Secure Boot. Think of it as a bouncer who checks everyone's ID at the door before letting them into a club.
Okay, I'm following.
Secure Boot's job is to verify that the software running on your device is legit, hasn't been messed with.
Makes sense.
But with these flaws, attackers could bypass Secure Boot. It's like sneaking into the club through the back door, you know?
So they could load malware before the system even had a chance to defend itself.
Exactly. And then there were these other vulnerabilities related to system management mode, or SMM for short. This mode, it has high-level access to your computer's hardware. It's like a master key that can override everything else.
Oh, wow.
And if they could exploit SMM vulnerabilities, they could bypass all the security checkpoints, take control of the whole system.
Scary stuff. This whole thing just makes you think, if a company like Palo Alto can have these vulnerabilities, it makes you wonder about, well, every other product out there.
Totally. It really underlines the importance of supply chain security. You got to vet your vendors, understand their security practices, trust, but verify, right?
100%. Before we move on, though, what's the main takeaway for our listeners here, especially for those who might be using Palo Alto firewalls?
First things first, check your firmware version and update it if you need to. Vendors often release patches to fix these vulnerabilities, so patching is critical. And then make sure you're regularly monitoring the integrity of your device. Look for any weird changes to the system's configuration or the firmware. And remember, multiple layers of security is always the best approach. Don't rely on just one thing.
Great advice. Okay, ready for our last vulnerability of the day. This one's sending shivers down my spine because we're talking about a zero-day vulnerability. That means it's actively being exploited out in the wild right now.
Oh no, this is a bad one.
Yeah. It affects SonicWall's SMA-1000 series appliances. SonicWall themselves are urging everyone to patch their systems immediately.
Oh, wow. So they're not messing around.
Not at all. This is a critical flaw. It's got a CVSS score of 9.8 out of 10.
That's almost a perfect 10.
Pretty much. For those who don't know, CVSS is a scoring system. It basically tells you how easy it is to exploit the vulnerability and how bad the damage could be. A 9.8 is basically DEFCON 1 level serious.
Definitely bad news. And this particular flaw, it's all about something called, and I know this is a mouthful, pre-authentication deserialization of untrusted data.
Pre-authentication. Could you break that down a bit for us?
So basically, attackers can exploit how the system processes data. They inject malicious code and potentially take control of the system. Imagine it like this. It's like sneaking in through an unlocked back door. You don't need a key or any credentials because it's already open. They can bypass all the security, remotely execute commands on the SonicWall appliance.
So it's like a free pass for hackers.
Pretty much, which is why patching is absolutely vital in this case. Good news is SonicWall did release a patch, version 12.4.302854. Everyone should get on that ASAP.
Big shout out to the Microsoft Threat Intelligence Center, MSTIC, for finding and reporting this vulnerability.
Absolutely. Responsible disclosure is so important. Gives vendors time to fix things before they blow up, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Besides patching, what else can people do to protect themselves?
Restrict access to the Appliance Management Console, that's the AMC, and the Central Management Console, CMC. If you limit access to only trusted sources, it makes it harder for attackers to exploit the vulnerability.
It's all about minimizing those entry points, right?
Exactly. Fewer doors, fewer chances for someone to break in. Okay, so ready for round two of vulnerabilities. This one hits close to home for pretty much everyone who shops online. We're talking about a vulnerability in an online payment platform, you know, the kind we all use probably every day.
Oh, okay. Now, this one has my attention.
Yep.
When you say vulnerability, what do you mean? Like, was there a data breach? Did they lose credit card numbers?
Well, it wasn't a full-blown breach, thankfully, but it could have been bad. It could have led to stolen data, including those credit card details. And it all boils down to, you've probably heard of this, something called SQL injection.
SQL injection, yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that an old one?
It is old, but it's still surprisingly common and super dangerous.
Remind me, how does that work again?
It's all about manipulating those input fields on websites, injecting code that the database will then execute. In this case, it was the search bar on the payment platform. So imagine, instead of searching for a product, you type in this sneaky little code snippet that can pull data from their database.
So basically, using the search bar like a backdoor.
Exactly. And what's even scarier is that this type of attack, it can be automated. Hackers can use tools to scan websites for these vulnerabilities, then launch tons of attacks at once, like casting a wide net, seeing what they can catch.
Okay, now I'm getting a little nervous about all those online purchases I just made.
It really emphasizes the importance of secure coding. You know, developers have to be incredibly careful about how they handle user input, especially on payment platforms where the stakes are so high.
For sure. So what happened after this vulnerability was found? Were they able to fix it before anyone was actually, you know, affected?
Thankfully, yes. It was reported through their bug bounty program.
Bug bounty program.
Yeah, where companies reward ethical hackers for finding vulnerabilities.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So they found it, reported it, and the platform acted really quickly, patched the flaw right away.
That's good news. Still makes you wonder, though, how many other website services are vulnerable to this same attack.
It's the question, isn't it? It's impossible to know for sure. But hackers are always out there scanning, probing, getting smarter all the time.
It's a never-ending battle.
It really is.
So what can we do to protect ourselves? Aside from, you know, never shopping online again.
Well, that's not very practical, is it?
Not really.
The biggest thing is to be aware of the websites you visit, the information you share. Stick to reputable websites. If it looks like it was built in 1998, maybe think twice, especially before you enter any payment details.
Common sense stuff.
Exactly. And of course, strong passwords, unique passwords for every site. You know, I preach this all the time.
You do, and for good reason.
And a password manager. Life-changing. Helps you generate and store all those complicated passwords so you don't have to remember them. Yeah, my brain is full enough already. Speaking of full, let's talk about cloud storage. You know, those digital spaces where we keep all our photos, files, everything.
Yeah, so much of our lives is in the cloud now, and it's not without its risks.
So what happened this time?
Well, there was a vulnerability due to a misconfiguration in a cloud storage service's access control settings.
Misconfiguration. So like someone left the door open to the digital storage locker?
Exactly. Because of this, some files stored on this particular service, they were publicly accessible. Anyone with the right URL could get to them, no password needed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and it wasn't just harmless stuff. We're talking names, addresses, phone numbers, even financial records in some cases.
That's a nightmare. I always double-check my sharing settings before I put anything even remotely personal on the cloud.
You and everyone should. This really highlights the fact that just trusting the vendor isn't enough. You have to understand their security settings, too.
It's a two-way street. So what's the best way to avoid this kind of accidental exposure? Since cloud storage is pretty hard to avoid these days.
You really got to get familiar with your cloud service's security settings. Understand how access control works. Double check those sharing settings before you upload anything sensitive. No more sharing those family vacation photos with the entire internet by accident.
No accidental oversharing, got it.
And think about adding an extra layer of protection. Encrypt your files before you upload them. It scrambles your data, making it unreadable to anyone who doesn't have the key.
Like a digital lockbox, okay, I like that. Now this one hits close to home in a more literal way. It involves industrial control systems, ICS, you know, the systems that power plants, critical infrastructure use.
This is where cybersecurity gets real in a very physical way. When these systems have vulnerabilities, essential services are at risk.
The power grid, water treatment plants, transportation, everything we rely on.
Exactly. And this particular vulnerability we're talking about, it's a remote code execution flaw in a specific ICS component. Attackers could potentially inject malicious code, execute it remotely.
Wait, so you're telling me someone could, like, hack into a power plant from their couch?
Theoretically, yes. That's the scary part. And this one was especially bad because it didn't need any authentication. Attackers could just send these specially crafted data packets to the vulnerable system, potentially take control.
It sounds like something out of a movie. Are we all going to end up in a cyber apocalypse because of these vulnerabilities?
I wouldn't say we're doomed. There's a lot more awareness about the importance of ICS security these days, and organizations are getting better at protecting themselves.
So what can we do? How do we protect these critical systems?
Network segmentation is key. Basically creating these separate, isolated networks for critical systems, making them harder to reach, like building a moat around your castle.
Makes sense. What else?
Regular security assessments are vital in keeping systems patched with the latest updates. Strong access control policies are also essential. You don't want just anyone walking in and messing with a power plant. And of course, training. Operators need to be aware of the threats and how to respond if something happens.
So it's all about shared responsibility again. Oh. Everyone has to do their part. Okay, we've covered a lot of ground in this segment. Ready for our final vulnerability?
Hit me with it.
Okay, so for our final act of Vendor Vulnerability Friday, we're going deep, really deep. We've talked about vulnerable networks, devices, but this one, this hits the core of how the internet works. The Border Gateway Protocol.
BGP. Yeah, this is the big one. Think of it like the air traffic control system for the internet.
The internet's air traffic control.
Exactly. It directs all those data packets, makes sure they get where they're going. And just like air traffic control, if BGP gets messed up, things can go south real quick.
Okay, so BGP keeps the internet flowing smoothly. But what happens when there's a vulnerability? What could go wrong?
Route hijacking. Imagine someone messing with the traffic signals, sending traffic to the wrong place. With BGP, attackers can manipulate routing information, make internet traffic go wherever they want.
So, like, instead of landing on my bank's website, I could end up on a fake site designed to steal my info.
Exactly. And it's not just about individual users getting tricked. BGP hijacking can disrupt entire networks, make websites unreachable, even redirect traffic to malicious servers.
Okay, now I see why this is such a big deal. This isn't just one company's problem. It's the whole internet's problem.
Right, it affects everyone. And this vulnerability, it let attackers inject these false routing announcements into the BGP network, like putting up fake detour signs on the highway.
So how do we stop these internet traffic hijackers? Can BGP even be secured?
There are ways to make it more secure. One big thing is route filtering. Network operators only accept announcements from trusted sources.
Makes sense. So like a VIP list for the internet.
Pretty much. And then monitoring is key. Constantly watching for any suspicious activity. Plus, there's ongoing research to develop better, more secure routing protocols.
Sounds like it's a constant effort to stay ahead of the bad guys.
It definitely is. BGP security is always evolving, and it's a good reminder that the internet, for all its good, needs constant care and attention.
Well said. And on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this Vendor Vulnerability Friday edition of Cyber Mornings Daily. We've covered Cloudflare, Palo Alto, SonicWall, now BGP. It's been a wild ride through the world of vulnerabilities.
And a good reminder that security is a journey, not a destination. Even the biggest names can have weaknesses, and those weaknesses can have a huge impact.
It's definitely a call to action for all of us, users, developers, companies, everyone, to make security a priority and work together to make the internet safer.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So, to our listeners, stay informed, stay vigilant, and as always, keep asking those questions. Knowledge is power, especially in the world of cybersecurity. Until next time, stay safe, stay secure, and we'll see you back here on Cyber Mornings Daily.